My best friend. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bartley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My best friend. My best friend is myself. My best friend is myself. Oftentimes I look outside of myself and I think how wonderful it'd be to have friends, to have people in my world who I enjoy and who I entertain, participate with, and be with. But really, my best friend is myself. And the reason that my best friend is myself, it goes right back to my childhood days. When I was a child, my best friend was myself. The person that I had the most fun with, the person that I enjoyed the company of best, the person that was always dear and near to me and always agreed with me and always made me feel very good was myself. As a child, and this is true of all children, as a child, I didn't really care whether there were other people around or not. I just cared about myself. And part of that was because I had to be by myself. I had to learn to play with my toes and play with my nose and just be with myself and be happy where I was. And of course, my nature was to be that way. All of our nature is to be that way. To be happy and to be by ourselves. Oh, there are times that we want our diapers changed. There are times we want some food, or there are times we want a little attention, but not too much, not too much. Most of the time, we want to be by ourselves. We want to sleep. We want to play by ourselves. We want to be alone. There are a few who have sort of sad attitudes about life. They want someone by their side all the time. They want someone to call and run for them every moment, and they want someone to recognize them and to think about them. Now, children like that are not children that really the world likes. Children like that are children that the world soon learns to ignore as much as possible. Children like that are not respected and not loved. But children who love themselves, who delight in their own company, who delight in their own presence, who like everything about themselves, are children that all the world loves. And I learned this right off the bat. I learned that my best friend is myself. Sometimes it was my own big toe. And I'd be sucking on my big toe or putting my thumb in my mouth or just playing with my body or playing with the crib around me or doing something and just singing happily to myself and just being joyous in my own presence. And as I grew up, my tendency was to be a happy child. My tendency was to be a happy person who enjoyed everything that came his way. And I did. I enjoyed everything that came my way. And soon I realized that everything didn't just come my way. I created things that came my way. When something unhappy came in my life, I realized that, hey, I created that. I created that. I don't need to be unhappy. No way. I like me. I'm a happy guy. And soon, whatever I created that was unhappy turned into something happy. It could not be unhappy in my presence. Because I liked me. I enjoyed me. I enjoyed everything I did, and everything I did turned to happiness around me. And that's just the way it was. I was a very creative fellow, and I'm always a creative fellow, and that's a part of our nature to be creative beings, because we are creators. And I create others around me. And I create others around me who enjoy my company, who enjoy doing things for me, who enjoy waiting on me, who enjoy carrying out my wishes. I create people around me who just delight in doing things for me because I don't feel superior to them. I let them feel superior to me. But I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know that if I am humble and gentle and sensitive to other people, they will just do everything they can to make me happy. And that is certainly what I want out of life. So I am gentle and careful and loving around all other people. I started early in life to be an unconditionally loving person. Now, I didn't know what that was, and I had no idea how that was going to function in my world, but early in life I started to be an unconditionally loving person. I loved everybody. I had such curiosity. It's sort of natural within me, as it is in all children. I had this natural curiosity to know everything and to know everybody. And as I had this natural curiosity, it was a curiosity to delight in the company of others, to delight in what they're doing, not to need them. See, that was a big issue that I saw in my brothers and sisters, that when they needed something, they didn't get it. And when I wanted something or needed something, instead of wanting it or needing it, I just delighted in having other people get it, or in seeing other people having joy and happiness. And in that same light, it came to me. It just happened to me. Now, it was not a matter of manipulation. It was just a matter of knowing how the principle worked. And I didn't even know it was a principle at that time. I didn't even know that I was dealing with principle. But something inside of me said, hey, if you want life, then give life. If you want love, then give love. If you want happiness, then give happiness. If you want goodness, then give goodness. Everything you have, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. And more will come back. Not that more will come back, but when you give it away, you don't have a possession for things. And when you don't have a possession for anything, then everything is yours. Little children own everything. They don't possess anything. They own everything. Their parents teach them to possess. But they naturally just own everything. A child will go into the toy box and he'll play with anything. And he won't ask and say, is this somebody else's? Can I play with this? Can I have this? Can I do this? The toy box is put in front of him. And it's for him to play with. The things are there. They're for him to play with. And that's the way I was. That's the way I am. Things are put around me. And that's for me to play with. The new gadgetry that comes out on the computers and so forth, that's for me to play with. Now, I may not want to have it permanently. I may just want to play with it and enjoy it and then pass it along. And when I pass it along, somebody says, well, I don't want what you had. Well, I've learned how to use it. Now, let me show you how to use it. And so I showed them how to use it, and they're real glad that I had it first, because I went through all the learning experiences of how to use it, and then I show them how to use it, and they say, hey, that's neat. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, of course, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's all about liking yourself, being your own best friend. And I am always my own best friend. I delight in being my own best friend. I delight in having everyone around me be my best friend too. They don't know, all of them don't know that they're my best friend, but they are. They're my best friend because I created them that way. They had nothing to do with it. They just are, and I reach out and touch their good points. I reach out and touch their happiness. I reach out and touch their joy. I reach out and touch their being, their wonderful quality, and they just like to be in my presence because I like to be in my presence. When I'm a happy person, my world is happy. When I'm a happy person, I'm surrounded by happy people. When I'm a happy person, I create a world filled with happy people who don't even have any idea why they're so happy. They just are so happy. They're in that ambience, that environment. They're in that attitude of happiness. And when they're in that attitude of happiness, wow, what a great joy that is. Now, people go around with tension and anxiety and with unhappiness for one reason or another. And then they let that compound. And then they push that into everybody around them. And everybody around them feels this tension and anxiety and this attitude of unhappiness, and they take it on themselves. Now, they don't know why they're so unhappy. They don't know why they have allowed in their world unhappiness, and then they become unhappy. They don't know that it's happening. I do. I do. Whenever I see a person around me who's unhappy, I immediately look for their happiness. I immediately look for their goodness. I immediately look for their love. I immediately look for all the good stuff about them. And as I look for all the good stuff about everybody around me, lo and behold, they begin to reflect that to me. Well, my world, you might say, is not a grand, big world where I have thousands and thousands of people around me. That would be fun, too. But my world is a small world of 5-10 people here and 5-10 people there. Wherever I go, I have small groups of people, but oh, such loving people. Oh, such wonderful people. Oh, such happy people. Nobody can make me unhappy, because I am the only one that can do anything to myself. No one can disrespect me, because I am respectable to myself. No one can say anything about me that is not true, because they're only speaking of themselves. And I know the truth about me. I am a nice guy. I'm a wonderful person. I'm a thoughtful person. I'm a loving person. I'm a gentle person. I'm a considerate person. I'm the type of person everybody loves to have around them, and they don't know why. And sometimes they don't love to have me around them because they want to feel sorry for themselves. They want to feel sad, they want to feel unhappy, and they just don't want me around them because they can't feel that way when I'm around them. And so they run away from me, or they discourage me, or they do everything they can to put me down because they want to have the right to be what they want to be. And I don't want any rights. I just am who I am. And I am a happy, sensitive, loving, caring guy, and I am untouched by the world that says, hey, there's a problem out there. I don't see a problem. I see only joy. They say the world is going through ups and downs and ins and outs. Oh, yes. And why doesn't it always stay on the up? Why doesn't it always stay on the happiness? Why doesn't it always stay on peace? Why doesn't it always stay on love, unconditional love everywhere? How come? Well, for me, it does. For me, it always stays on unconditional love. It always stays on unconditional love. It always stays on unconditional love. For unconditional love doesn't happen out there. It happens in here, inside of me, inside of my thinking, inside of my attitudes, inside of my thought about myself. And if I'm sorry for myself, that's too bad. If I'm happy for myself, oh, that's very good. If I'm doing things that make me happy, that's very good. If I'm doing things that make me sad, how silly. But that's what sometimes happens. But my best friend is myself, and I associate with my best friend. I associate with my best friend all the time. I associate with me all the time. I like meditation because it gives me an opportunity to listen to me, to listen to the divine in me, to listen to the highest and best in me, to listen to what is for my finest and most delightful experience. I listen to me. I have taught myself over the years that there's no sense in going and watching movies or watching theater or listening to music that is downbeat. I like upbeat, everything in a positive, joyful way. Movies that are depressing are not for me. Movies that tell about other people's unhappy lives, that's not for me. Movies that display experiences that are limiting and not very pleasant, that's not for me. I make my choice. I can choose which movie I want to go to. And no one's going to think that I'm a terrible person because I don't go to one movie or the other. Everybody thinks I'm a wonderful person because I go to the movies I go to and because I experience the life adventures that I want to experience. And having friends is just like the choice I make of the movies. Is it going to be uplifting? That's for me. If it's not going to be uplifting, no way. If a person comes along and they are a delight in my heart, they're right in my heart. If the person comes along and they're not a delight in my heart, I don't even know they're there. I don't even know. Well, don't you try to change them? Don't you try to be a blessing to them? Don't you try to uplift them? No. I can only be who I am. And if I look out and I see people who need uplifting, oh, you can be sure that I missed the boat somewhere. If I look outside of my eyes and my body and my affairs, and I see a world that is not harmonious, then it is me that's not harmonious. If I look into the eyes of all the world and all the joys of the world, and I say, wow, isn't that beautiful? And then for me, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. They say of Mother Teresa that she was a saint and she was a glorious woman. And she would go around and she'd pick up these children from the dump. She'd pick them up from the trash and she'd pick them up as they were dying and the people who were dying in India. And she'd go around and visit them and in their last moment of life, she would kiss them and bless them and give them the feeling of something worthwhile. Well, now, why did she do that? She could not give them a feeling of being worthwhile if she were not worthwhile. She could not give them a feeling of something valuable that they were unless she felt she were very valuable. Oh, she said she did it for God. But you and I, we know that God is within us, that God is the very essence of our being, that God is who we are. And so, if she was doing it for God, she was doing it for herself. And what a lovely lady she is. She did her own thing. Oh, it was dramatic. Oh, yes. She dealt with these people who were on the last step of their adventure here. And she wanted them to realize that they may have had the last step, but the last step was the step of unconditional love that she shared with them. Because that's who she was. Now, did she worry about these people who were dying and these people who were sick and these children who were stepping into the next dimension? Did she worry about them? No. She was there to love them unconditionally. She let them walk the path however they chose to walk it, and she didn't judge it, and she didn't say it was good or bad. She just blessed them with the love, the unconditional love of her God indwelling. This is what we do too. We go through life and we create it according to our God indwelling. Now, Mother Teresa was rather dramatic, and that's a very charming thing, I guess. But I like to be with happy people. I like to be with people who are successful. I like to be with people who know what they want and they speak their word in a positive way and enjoy what they want. I like to be with people who are happy and content with themselves. I like to be with people who know that they are their own best friend. I like to be with people who know that they are so filled with the Spirit, so filled with joy, so filled with love, so filled with peace, so filled with every good and beautiful thing that they know only that. And they share only that. And all the world, as the saying is, all the world loves a lover. Oh, yes, indeed. All the world loves a peaceful person. All the world loves a person who is their own best friend. And you and I, when we are our own best friend, we are content with ourselves. We are at peace. We are feeling a great love that oozes out of every pore of our body. And everyone in our presence says, oh, they're a nice person to be around. Oh, yes. After I get done talking to you, I just feel 10 feet tall. I feel so wonderful. Yes, isn't that great? And isn't that true? And isn't that you? And isn't that me? Yes, it is. Now, what do you want out of life? What do you want out of anything? My best friend is myself. My best friend is how I create others around me. Not that they're my best friend. They can never replace me being my best friend. A child's best friend is himself. An adult's best friend is himself. When I stop looking outwardly for the fulfillment of happiness and joy and peace and harmony, I find it has been within me all the while. People may get all the money in the world. Yes, our Mexican man, who is now the wealthiest man in the world, he has more money than he'll ever know what to do with. He's having a very happy time doing his job, doing his business, and he's pushing pennies here and there, pesos, and he's just having a great time. But are his children having fun? Or are his children just sort of tied under the burden of money? Is Bill Gates having fun? Bill Gates stopped being in Microsoft, stopped being in the business that made him happy and made him sad, and he got into the business of giving away money. And now he and his wife are so concerned that they're giving away money, they give it away as fast as they can, because they hope that at some point in their life they won't have any more money that they have to give away. Well, they're doing a noble job, and they're doing something beautiful, but are they happy doing it? And little by little, the answer is no, because they think that money can solve the world's problems. If you have a happy man, is money going to make him happier? You say, oh, sure. Oh, no. Money does not make us happy. Money puts a burden on us. When we have money, we have a responsibility to spend it, to use it in some way. Unless we are living our life based upon happiness, joy, peace, harmony, goodness, right action, truth, love, sincerity, integrity. Unless these are our values, as they are with a child. A child doesn't know them by those words, but that's what they are. Unless these are our values, we go through a very meaningless life. The people who are so wealthy, they have lots of money and they can do anything they want to do. And what do? They want to help others. Sometimes. Sometimes they just want to, I don't know what they just want to do, but sometimes they don't want to help others. I cannot conceive a person who doesn't want to help others. And when they don't want to help others, they have the feeling like Scrooge that everybody's trying to take their money away from them. And is that a happy time? When is our happiest time? When we are our own best friend. When we are giving to ourselves, not possessing anything, but enjoying everything. As one great philosopher once said, if ever something is taken away from me, if ever something is removed from my joyous presence, I don't say that I have lost it. I just say I have given it back. We don't lose anything in life. We just give it back. Now, do you give back happiness? Do you give back joy? Do you give back peace? Do you give back love? Do you give back honor? Do you give back integrity? Do you give back all that is of the highest and best? Or do you give back, as the saying might go, that was stolen from you or you lost it? Well, that's a very sad way to go through life. Rather, say, I gave it back. And if anything is ever removed from your presence and and you no longer have it, you can just say, I gave it back. Now, that doesn't mean they can't give it back to you again, that it cannot not necessarily return to you, but it cannot come back to you again. Because if you give it back, it's an interchange back and forth. It's a sharing back and forth. Nothing is ever lost. Everything stands in a beautiful, sacred place on this universe of ours. You and I, we are very special people. You and I are divine. You and I are not children of God. We are God. You and I are the creators of our world. You and I are the lovers, the unconditional lover of the entire universe. And when you and I start looking out at our universe and saying, it is good and very good, as we did in the beginning, as you and I do that, then indeed the universe is good and very good. This is what little children do. Little children look at the world about them, and everything is to be sucked on. Everything is to be played with. Everything is to be tasted. Everything is to be loved. Everything is to be enjoyed. Everything is to be a wonderment. Everything is to be a delight. Everything is to be good and very good. My best friend, that's me. A child's best friend, that's them. Every experience that a child has is an experience with his best friend, because it is him for that instant that he has it. And when it's gone, he goes on to other things. One child has a playmate, and that playmate is gone, and the child finds another one. The child doesn't mourn and moan over a missing playmate, as some of our stories try to tell us on TV. That's not true. A child who does that is a child that is not a complete child. That's a child who has had to possess things to make himself feel whole. But a child who's learned to give it away, which is a natural attitude of children. A child who has learned not to possess anything, but to participate in all activities of life as the friend, as the master, as the one who has the right to participate that way. That child will live the most content, fulfilled life. And that child, believe it or not, is the majority of the children on earth. The majority of the children on earth are living in that being their best friend. You and I can take a page from their book and learn it very well and realize that never say anything is taken from you or that anything is lost. Just say, I gave it back. Never say that the world is friendless, because you are the friend of the world. And with Mother Teresa, you give the kiss of integrity. You give the kiss of unconditional love. And everything is okay. I am my best friend. And I know you are too, because you are my best friend too. I love you. I love you. I love you.